Well, hello there. I'm Jim Harrington. It's another day, and it's the 100th episode, Bill.
Happy 100. I didn't bring the fireworks, and I, you know, if I light a match at a building.
Go ahead. What the heck? It's a celebrate any way you'd like. That's, by the way, that's Bill Knight. I cut on it. I stepped on his introduction. I don't want you to not get your proper due. So how was your weekend?
Low-key, as they say, which is a good way to be for a weekend. You know, there was a lot of news in the weekend. It was interesting reading over the weekend and interesting conversations with people over the weekend that, you know, just kind of open your eyes to some realities that are going on in the world. With we're about to turn a scary corner. I know that we've said that, but
I think we are too, yeah.
The gas prices going where they don't need to be going. A trucker sitting there going, you know, if diesel goes up anymore, I and many more are going to have to park the rig, and that means no goods in a already squeezed supply chain is going to, you know, come to a standstill. And then what happens next? Well, you know, gas prices are really soaring. A friend of mine up north sat there, was lamenting about, yeah, about 10 gallons for my car. It was $52. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, well, I drive a truck, you know, and yeah, the gas prices are bad. That truck takes over $100.
Wow.
You know, to get things going. And 10 gallons in a truck with a V, you know, a V 5.7 engine.
Well, listen to this. This morning, experts warned that a surge of crop prices and food costs are on the horizon, because they say that wheat exports from the Ukraine and Russia have slowed to basically nothing. And last week, India announced it would ban exports of their wheat. So they're saying that we only have 10 weeks of wheat supplies left in storage. 10 weeks, you know, of wheat.
And I would venture to say, because of the panic that that will create, cut that number virtually in half.
Right.
It's going to be gone, and we're going to panic.
So we worried about baby formula, and they made a big issue. Did you see it, by the way, over the weekend? They were offloading pallets of baby formula from Germany that they were getting in to help us with the baby formula shortage. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. Only under this administration do we have, you know, ships bringing supplies of baby formula to us. Usually we're the ones that are helping out.
You just dotted the I's and crossed the T's of a statement that Trump made and a question that I had. Are we becoming, or are we already there? And we are there. We are a third world nation, because when we, America, has to depend on someone else for fuel and we're running out, that's third world. When we have to depend on everybody else's food to survive and get by, third world. Fuel?
Yeah. Well, listen, Trump today, he said, and this is a truth that he put out this morning. So what's going on with Pennsylvania? 5 days now and watched over by incompetent Democratic gubernatorial candidate Josh Shapiro. The entire nation of France was done during the evening of 1 day. 1 day. Used paper ballots, no discrepancies. Are we a third world nation? Are we becoming Venezuela? Yes. So he was talking about elections and how they were being run, but what you're saying is absolutely true. The other things
got elections, have to be included. Food. Mm-hmm. We've got every I you can dot, every T you can cross is happening in America. Mm-hmm. We are no longer self-sufficient. We are, and when I say we're beggars, look to Joe Biden, our fearless leader, who's sitting there begging Venezuela for fuel. And his actions with Iraq and that nuclear deal and the Saudis, who now every trust that we built up with them has been destroyed by one man and one man only, Joe Biden. They're saying, screw you and your oil.
He's getting the oil from Venezuela and these other countries. The oil, by the way, is a lesser grade, dirtier kind of oil, so it's going to pollute more. It's also got to be put on ships, and those ships have to travel to our country with the oil, so there's more pollution being poured out into the environment from those ships. And somehow they think this is environmentally better than us going to our own backyard and drilling our own oil, our own cleaner oil.
He's not going to open up the pipeline. Now, one thing that was going on that everyone said, oh, well, no one knows about this, but this is going to be great. Right here in Pennsylvania, right in my own backyard, was a multi-hundred-billion-dollar plant that was going to bring in thousands of jobs. And everybody, they've already broken the ground. They were already building this thing.
Right.
As Biden was shutting down the leases, he goes, oh, wait a minute. This is a good thing that's going on there in Pennsylvania. It's what they were going to do is build this plant, and the welders were coming in to do it, to build this plant that takes the natural gas that lies under our land here. And they have a conversion system to convert natural gas to gasoline.
Amazing.
And it got shut down. Now all those jobs, those plans, the wasted money there, from what I understand, from what I was told last week, that just got flushed down the crapper by Joe. Everywhere he goes, he drops his pants and leaves a big pile for everybody to step in.
Listen, folks, we got a border that is falling apart. 500,000 people, I think, in the last 10 weeks have crossed the border. I think I read that. I have that in my stack of goodies here. 500,000 migrants crossed U.S. border in the last 10 weeks. 500,000. They're just coming across. It's no big deal. I mean, they have buses waiting for them now to pick them up. The government does. They check them in like, oh, okay, where are you from? Venezuela, what's your name? Okay, Jose. Get on the bus. They go in the bus and they take them away. I saw an aerial shot this weekend of the stacks and stacks of the wall that we were putting up. And they're all there. They're ready to be used, but they're stacked up and abandoned on site. All they have to do is take them and install them. It would take them maybe like a month or so to put them up, and the wall would be up. But nope, Biden is making a point, and it's a terrible point. We have millions coming across, and they're going to continue. We have food shortages, gas shortages. We have no borders. And this guy is talking about keeping us safe and secure. Listen to this, folks. China buzzed Taiwan with fighter jets and bombers, and they also buzzed a U.S. base in Japan last week. And they're getting very feisty, the Chinese are. And Biden was asked, would we defend China, or Taiwan rather, militarily from China? This was yesterday. Here was his enthusiastic response. Listen.
I don't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are?
That's a commitment we made. We are not. Look, here's the situation. We agree with a one China policy. We signed on to it, and all the attendant agreements made from there. But the idea that it can be taken by force is just not appropriate. It'll dislocate the entire region and be another action similar to what happened in Ukraine.
It's almost like he was blindsided by the question, would you be willing to defend Taiwan with force? And he paused and, yes. I'm thinking, oh my gosh,
because he didn't have a way to back out of that that question, or he would have, because you know
China is his friend. China is his buddy. Now, what I wonder is, would we send airplanes and military to defend Taiwan, or just do what we did with the Ukraine and send them equipment and supplies?
Probably equipment and supplies, and then we would lie about how badly the Chinese can't fight. It's amazing how these two superpowers are just inept and dumb, and we thought they were big foes, and they're not. And yet you see secret little videos, oh, that's fake news, of them actually getting some punches in. Now, let me tell you, China make no mistake about it, they will get their licks in. More so than I would say, you know, they.
I'm not sure whether China would respond to us being as involved in Taiwan as we are with the Ukraine. I mean, we're giving the Ukraine incredible supplies, sophisticated weapons. I think if we did that with the Chinese, we may get a more direct response from the Chinese. That's just my own humble opinion. Listen to this. Battle for control of eastern Ukraine is going to be bloody. It's going to be visible. It's going to be what war is, says former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen. He was interviewed by Martha Raddatz over the weekend, and here's what he said.
And the Russians, let's move to Ukraine. The Russians did have some successes this week. Mariupol finally fell to them after months of fighting. How significant a victory do you think that is? And is this just going to be incremental for months to come?
I've said from the beginning, I think this is going to be a long slog with Putin. He's clearly focused out east now after what has been a disaster in other parts of the country. I think initially he really did want to take Kiev, overturn the government, put a puppet in as a leader, and he's not going to be able to do that right now. But I think he is going to do everything he possibly can to lose as little in the east as possible. President Zelensky's been pretty clear he wants that territory as well. So I think we're in for a long one. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be visible. It's going to be what war is. I think we'll see Putin continue to devastate the infrastructure with respect to how he approaches it, the long-range weapons. I think what we've done to supply them has been extraordinary, quite frankly, and we need to continue to do that.
I think we're in for a long slog. Boy, it kind of says it all. And I wonder how long is our commitment going to be? Are we committed now forever to defend?
Well, I'll tell you this. I do know firsthand that we are actually building up the war machine, and I'm not talking about the howitzers and stuff like that. I'm sure they're still manufacturing those, which is amazing that if there's a supply chain problem with hardware and electronics and everything, that things can't be or can be built. But I can tell you this, our big machinery and ships, subs, besides what's being committed, has been committed to, we're ramping that up.
Well, I learned over...
Why would that be? You can go and be above and beyond.
I learned over the weekend that the $44 billion that we just committed to the Ukraine, a lot of that doesn't go to the Ukraine. A lot of that goes to our own armed forces to build up our own supplies of equipment, because we use that equipment in many cases to give to other countries like the Ukraine. So when the war broke out in the Ukraine and we gave them all these weapons, that was not coming out of the factory. That was coming out of our stockpiles for our own troops, our own armed forces. So now part of that $44 billion is to build up our own forces too.
Oh, we've got so much money to spend, because until we run out of paper to print it on, and we're gold.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Think of the turmoil we've been in as a country since Biden got into office. We have all this problem at the border. We have shortages of food. We have shortages of fuel. Gas has gone up. I think it's gone up like $1.50 a gallon on average across the country, which is a lot of money for the average Joe. That takes it out of that takes it out of someplace else. If the guy was going to go on a vacation with his family, well, maybe we won't go this year. Or if he was going to add on to his house, put on a new porch, or maybe a pool out back, all of a sudden that gets stopped because I can't afford that. Heck, I spend so much more going to work.
How much further can we sink? We sank during the pandemic. Now we're sinking because of the inflation demic and the gas demic and the Joe demic and the food demic.
Yeah.
How many Democratic screw-ups can we survive?
We laughed on Friday about the monkey pox. Well, now over the weekend, they were talking about it like it's something that the government is planning on being a problem. They're talking about it seriously.
It's in Europe now.
I know, but they're saying like, it could be an epidemic. First of all, I don't trust the government when it comes to epidemics around election times. I just don't do that. I know that I would get banned from YouTube for saying that, but we're not on YouTube right now, so.
No, we got banned for saying other things.
So to heck with them. But thank you. That was but I do think that we are in dire straits right now. We have so much happening, so much confusion in our country. Someone said in one of the talk shows that, have you noticed how everything is a crisis with this administration? Everything is a crisis. Every week we have something, some major development that is earth-shattering. And then, of course, we have, you heard about the Sussman case, that Robbie Mook, the former campaign manager of Hillary Clinton, admitted that Hillary knew that they were going to have the Russian hoax. She signed off. She said, oh, don't give it to the FBI because it won't, nothing, they won't do anything with it. Give it to the media. Hillary supposedly said, no, don't give it to the FBI. Direct it to the media. The media are our friends, and they will promote the heck out of it.
Well, what happened there is that it was an admission by her campaign manager that, yeah, she signed off on it. She knew about it. She knew it was fake, and she told him how to get the fake information out there. Now, a lot of people don't remember the Hillary antics and just how evil and corrupt she is. But, you know, if you want to look up the Rose Law Firm, look up Whitewater, and then you'll find out when she stepped in a big old pile of it there, and all the evidence was there against her, and it was in the law firm, and the because what they do is they take all the documents, they have a document room that has all the damning information. I'll be damned if that one room in the Rose Law Firm didn't catch on fire and all of the paperwork burned, and she's sitting there going, how the hell did that happen?
Well, let me ask you a question. All right, you are tied in with the government. You're a very important person, Secretary of State, let's say. And you decide, you know, I think I'm going to have a little private server and put it in a closet in some place. I think it was Colorado, wasn't it? We're going to stick it out in a little place, in some store or some place, some rental. We'll put it in Colorado, and I can put all my stuff on that, my real personal stuff, and some things that might be top secret, but hey, you know, what the heck? We're friends. She did that. If Bill Knight did that, if Jim Harrington did that, I would have been in cuffs years ago. I would have been wearing prison stripes. You know, I would have had, what do they say? Three hots in a cot. That's, I think it's happening. Yeah.
Three squares in a cot and cable TV to boot.
Do they have cable right now? Really? That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it was Pittsburgh that was actually the first one. And
they put cable in the cells?
They had cable TV and internet. Yes, they did.
In the cells?
Yes.
Well, that's...
That big monstrosity that screwed up some of the skyline view that's in...
the Allegheny County Jail.
Oh, right? They had cable when that thing... That was the big controversy.
Isn't that nice?
You know, because I was there when it happened. And I personally knew the judge that signed off on it. And his daughter, and bless her heart, she's, forget what it is she's got. She's a sweet lady, but she's ill. But, I worked with her and, but we never talked about her dad and everything. He was actually a good guy, but, he did approve some things. I was going like, what?
I know.
What are you doing?
It's amazing. I saw a prison that they were doing some kind of I think it was a ghost hunt.
Yeah.
And it was out in Missouri, and it was back in the late 1800s, and their solitary was a square room in the dark, and their plumbing supplies were a bowl. That's
well,
it.
They were, they, well, Missouri, I mean, that's good stuff there.
A bowl.
Sorry if you're from the Show Me State. we don't want to see what you got to show me.
You see what the Supreme Court could rule on Roe versus Wade as soon as today? And
you know, I'm hoping they don't cave on this, but it's going to be bad if they stick to the leaked information.
Well, apparently they're expecting violence in D.C. And Rich Edson, a reporter for Fox News, was on with Brett Baer. I think on Friday, here's what he said.
Inaction to stop protests outside the justices' homes has some Republicans on Capitol Hill saying this is just not enough. Senior national correspondent Rich Edson has the story from Washington.
No justice! No peace! The Justice Department will not tolerate threats of violence against judges. That's the warning from Attorney General Merrick Garland. After meeting this week with Supreme Court officials, Garland added, quote, "I want to be clear. While people vote, argue, and debate in a democracy, we must not, we cannot allow violence or unlawful threats of violence to permeate our national life." The Republicans want the Attorney General to act now.
Where was Merrick Garland? Where was federal law enforcement? Why were they not arrested?
Republicans maintain protesters still demonstrating in front of conservative justices' homes ahead of the court decision that could overturn Roe v. Wade are violating a federal law that prohibits picketing with the intent of influencing a judge. Last week, the Senate passed a bill to extend protection for Supreme Court families.
Any judicial officer is entitled to full protection and respect. Any violence is abhorrent.
Blumenthal says he hopes the House follows suit. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested a more tailored approach.
I think that the need for protection should relate to whatever threat that is there, and that's a judgment that is made by our law enforcement people.
The White House says the president wants protesters to respect privacy as they gather outside justices' homes. Though there's been no significant effort from President Biden to dissuade these protests.
He believes the right to peacefully protest in this country is fundamental. But he also believes that violence, threats, and intimidation have no place in political discourse anywhere.
A Department of Homeland Security memo says officials are monitoring threats against Supreme Court justices and staff. DHS says it's concerned about attacks on the Supreme Court building, places of worship, and abortion clinics.
I was just thinking as he was giving that report, will they treat any violence because of the Roe versus Wade decision like they treated the Capitol January 6th?
Yeah. I would say not, because they're going to say, that it was justified and called for and it was a peaceful protest, even though they had to demonstrate with, firebombs and whatever. I hope they don't cave. But they probably will, because they're going to weigh everything. And that is not the way to pass legislation. And this does not in any way overturn Roe versus Wade. What it does is it just sets it to the states. But the narrative was manipulated by not only the left politicians as a sword to wield, but so is the news. And Hillary has proved with her testimony, even the Sussman case, that the Democratic Party and the people on the left own the media.
Of course they do. Yeah, absolutely. Like when she said, don't go to the FBI, go to the media, they're with us. She knew it, and she knew that they'd have her back. You see, where the Senate has the Democrats in the Senate have introduced a new gun control bill. It requires Department of Justice license for gun purchases with a 5-year license limit. It means you have to renew it every 5 years, and government power of confiscation. The government
can
say,
let me ask you this question.
I want your guns. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question, because what they could be doing is forcing gun prices to go up and a run on guns, because I would think that, let's say that I own 5 cap guns, that are being banned that way, and they only have a 5-year limit. Mm-hmm. Well, I own these guns before that. Is it grandfathered?
I don't know. They don't. I don't think they say. But the sticky wicket, as they would say, is the confiscation thing, to be able to take your guns, to be able literally to walk into your house and seize your weapons.
Well, there would be one other element that they could do to make that happen immediately. By doing that federal registration, they could put a tax on it then, an easy tax on it, like they did with, I remember when they did the sin tax for cigarettes, and they did it for pornography and everything, which I'm not condoning any of that, but I'm saying they put that on there, and all of a sudden, I can't afford the taxes anymore. And you don't pay those taxes, guess what you're giving up immediately?
See, where confiscation. I'm kind of racing through these stories today because there was so much out there this weekend.
Yeah, I have stuff, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Bill, Elon Musk, he announced that he's going to vote Republican, and he said, watch out, I've just made an announcement, and they're going to come after me now. It wasn't 24 hours where they started putting reports about a 2016 allegation that he sexually assaulted a woman on one of his airplanes. The story is dead, meaning that they settled that years ago, but they want to smear him so badly. So Musk said, wait a second. Here's what we're going to do. I challenged that woman to describe any unusual characteristic of my personal, my private parts publicly. Go ahead. Tell the world what you saw. And then, to make things even more interesting, he posted another tweet that said, I'm asking any good criminal lawyer that can prove that he's as good as he thinks he is to work on a team of highly focused criminal lawyers who will be like an assault team of lawyers. He says, we're going to go after these people because they're going to start coming after me. And, you know, the difference is with Musk, he has so much money, so much financial resources behind him.
Right.
He can turn around, and when they start making these phony allegations, he can whip them with an amazing lawsuit. And I would imagine he can bring them to court quickly.
You know, this happened at a time, and he was rich at the time, but he was growing his business. He didn't need that. Now, there's a thing called a nuisance fee. You file a lawsuit. There are a lot of people that make money doing that. They file a frivolous lawsuit, and then they settle for a nuisance fee. They might get $5,000, $25,000, $250,000, whatever right. It is. It's chump change to the person that goes, I don't have time for this.
Right.
It's going to cost me more in attorney fees than this. Give it to them. Shut them up.
Right.
I want to move forward. And then they sign a thing saying, I won't talk about it. Now the media comes in going, we can slap them around with this and it is nothing. So he's doing the right thing. But if I were a rich person and I'm flying on my jet,
right,
and somebody says, yeah, well, Bill Nye just for whatever reason decided to whip his willy out and sit there and show it off to all the world and everyone else to see, would you do that? I sure as hell would.
What she said was, she's also a licensed masseuse. And he said, I'm going to get a massage in the back of the plane. She said, I walked into his private quarter. I guess he has his own, like a bedroom area. And he was naked with the exception of a towel covering his private parts. And somebody said last night, wait a second. Anybody who has ever gotten a massage will tell you that's how people are. They are naked with the exception of a towel over their private areas.
And she knew that, but she said, here's my meal ticket.
She was a licensed masseuse. You would think that she would understand that that's not unusual. But he's gonna be very aggressive in defending himself. And I think they've run into the wrong guy here. He's a tough cookie. He didn't get as far as he got by being a stupid man. I think he's going to be different. Some other people just sort of, like you said, they would just write out a nuisance check or something like that and just go away, leave me alone. Or maybe they would capitulate and say, well, maybe I'm not going to vote Republican. I'll vote Democrat. I made a mistake. He's not going to do that. He's going to double down. He's going to double down. And I think he's going to kick butt and take names, as they would say.
Look, he was given a dose of reality there, what the world is really like, and it's not what everybody thinks.
Davos, they're having a World Economic Forum in Davos. That's the Klaus Schwab thing. And I have here a list of the U.S. attendees, and a lot of Republicans are going. I was surprised to hear that. For example, there's a congressman from Pennsylvania, Daniel Muser. Why would a congressman from Pennsylvania be going to the World Economic Forum? I'll tell you why. Because it's probably fully paid for. It's probably a wonderful time to party hardy and meet some interesting people. Daryl Issa from California is going. I mean, there's a whole list of Republicans. I'm not surprised that Democrats are going. But I am surprised that these Republicans are. And if you wonder what the World Economic Forum does, they talk about how we can better unify the world and make it more of a global governance as opposed to having countries rule their own territories. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, if you were talking about one world order, wouldn't you
want to be sitting
at that table? So you would go to this thing. You know, I liken these politicians to disc jockeys. And you're going, well, what would you mean by that? Well, let's go back to the golden age of you want your record played?
Yeah, that's
true. Well, that's $50 a spin. Yes. Hey, Ola.
Yep,
well, exactly. Is there political Ola?
I would ask you, as a dedicated listener and somebody who's interested in what's going on in the world, to check out that list. Go online and check out the list of attendees to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. You can find a copy of it on Gateway Pundit has a copy of it. Read it for yourself and see the people who are going. Be aware of the – you'll be surprised. You won't be surprised that guys like John Kerry are going – but you will be surprised at some Republicans who talk about being against that kind of thing. They're going. They're going to be there. One last thing, Bill. The Lincoln Memorial was closed yesterday because I guess on Saturday some college grads from Georgetown University. They trashed the shrine. They trashed it. This, by the way, is on the eve of the centennial of the Lincoln Memorial.
You know, a lot of these young people today have been polluted with left liberalist socialism and
nonsense.
Communism.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they know. So they think that they're doing the right patriotic thing because they have polluted their minds. It's just like, I didn't know this, but for 6 years now, you know, we're just now bitching about all the new surnames, you know, she goes in her title might go by her, she, you know, her slash she, and they have all these ways to identify their sexuality. And it's very important to do this. And I'm like,
of course it is.
Yes. And it's been going on in schools forever now. So it just now broke out and here we are, mainstream America, and we have to catch up. And you know what? The bus already left the station. So has the train. We don't have but a choice to either derail the train if we can or get on board and take the ride.
What I don't understand, though, is that they trashed the place. They were swimming in the reflection pool, in that long rectangular pool that leads up to the Lincoln Memorial. The kids were in there swimming. They were splashing around.
In the pool.
Who knows? But the thing is, they're going to get sick and then sue the country. You know, the water is not filtered. Like, it's not a real pool.
It's built over a swamp. What do you expect? And what do you expect out of Washington
for
a place that represents our country that was built on a swamp?
I was thinking, though, that if you and I did this when we were back in the day, when we were young people, they would have had the park police in and we would be in cuffs and they would be escorting us off on buses and you would have a court date. You wouldn't be able to do this, but they just apparently let these kids do their thing. Oh, what the heck? What can we do? They're kids, you know. Let them trash the place. No consequences. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, tough out there.
We've done it again, my friend. We have talked on and on. We've had a lot to talk about today. And I still got stuff we didn't get to.
Oh, me too. I got, like, the Kamala legislation that's old sitting out there that they might resurrect.
We can talk about that tomorrow, but we can also point out that this is, again, our 100th episode.
And happy 100th episode to us.
We wouldn't be here doing our 100th episode if it wasn't for the fact that our listeners are following the show.
Right.
People have found us, and they keep coming back for more, and we are truly appreciative. Truly.
Yeah, I mean, I have one guy out front, Jenny. More.
No, he's not talking about that's a bird, Bill. That's a minor bird.
Is that what?
Yeah, Bill. No. But
damn.
We hopefully we'll be able to come back and talk about our 200th and 300th, et cetera, and so on and so forth. So,
well, you know what? It's only, about 3 months we got to the 100th?
Yeah.
So end of the year.
No.
Yeah.
We've been doing this since December, my friend. So
December, I'm not going to count
February, March, April, May, June. 7 months we've been doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, you know. Don't ask me. I don't know anything about time. That's why I'm so young and beautiful. I just don't count the numbers.
I know. You're also very humble. The thing that you know you're starting to become successful and noticed when YouTube bans you. And again, if you are somebody who regularly listens to our program on YouTube, we've got about, what, another week and 3 days, 4 days to go on our ban from YouTube.
Well, I think it's a little longer than that. Somehow I read this thing. I'll have to go back and look, but it's, yeah, it's a little longer, but not much.
The thing is, we're not going to, I don't think we're ever going to put the whole shows back on YouTube. We're going to put promos on and.
Well, run promos, or yeah, we might do select shows that we know won't get banned.
It's hard to do it, though, because we have we're such bad boys.
Yeah, well, you're the bad boy. Well, I'm a good boy.
I think you're a bad boy myself, but hey.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Hey, look it, folks. Have yourself a wonderful day, and we shall we'll do it again tomorrow, same time, same place.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Bye, all you.
Adios, amigos.